Deuteronomy chapter 23. He who is wounded in the testicles or has his private member cut off must not enter into the assembly of Yahweh. An illegitimate person, that's somebody whose father was not known, must not enter into the assembly of Yahweh. Even to the tenth generation shall none of his enter into the assembly. Well, remember that Jesus was considered like that. Everybody thought his mother Mary had got pregnant by some guy. Nobody really believed what she said, that an angel appeared to her and told her that she was going to be pregnant, but not by a man, but by God. And so that's why they despised the Lord Jesus, her son. They said, "Where is your father?" And he said, "Well, God's my father." And they're like, "Ha, ha, ha, ha." So Jesus was treated as somebody who was, as it were, disallowed from being part of the assembly of God. This is typical of how God works, through those who are despised, the marginal, those on the edge. An Ammonite or a Moabite must not enter into the assembly of Yahweh. Even to the tenth generation shall none belonging to them enter into the assembly of Yahweh forever. Well, you think of Ruth, of course. She was from Moab. And even though technically this would have applied to her, yet clearly she was welcomed in effectively, and she became one of the ancestors of the Lord Jesus. So again, it's an example of where God deals with individuals who are often despised and excluded. This is because the Ammonites and Moabites didn't meet you with bread and water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam to curse you. But Yahweh your God wouldn't listen to Balaam, but Yahweh your God turned the curse into a blessing to you, because Yahweh your God loved you. You shall not seek their peace or their prosperity all your days forever. So Balaam had wanted to curse Israel because the king of Moab had offered him money. "If you curse Israel, I'll give you money." So he opened his mouth to curse them, but God made him come out with a blessing. And he said that Israel were absolutely wonderful, and that God had not seen iniquity in Jacob. Well, they were full of idol worship and weakness at the time. They carried the idols of Egypt with them through the wilderness. But quite simply, because Yahweh loved you. This is the simplest truth, that God loves us and counts us as if we're righteous even though we're not. Because that's what love does. You look at someone positively despite their faults. You mustn't despise an Edomite, for he is your brother. Esau is Edom. You must not abhor an Egyptian because you lived as a foreigner in his land. The children of the third generation who are born to them may enter into the assembly of Yahweh. When you go forth to camp against your enemies, you must keep yourselves from every evil thing. If there is among you any man who is not clean by reason of anything that happens to him by night, he must not go outside the camp. He must go outside the camp. He shall not come within the camp. But when the evening comes on, he must bathe in water. When the sun is down, he shall come within the camp. Well, a man could become unclean at night by all manner of reasons. And there they were fighting their enemies, needing every hand on deck. The temptation would have been to just ignore this, that, oh, he's got to be unclean, or he can't be with us today. In the army, he's got to be outside and unclean, and then he's got to wash in water in the evening, etc. Yeah, this was all to teach them. Put me first. Don't count up your human strength and think that, let's not worry about God's laws and being clean before God. We need as many men as possible on the job fighting the enemy. No, trust in God and he will provide. You must have a place also outside the camp where you shall go to relieve yourself. You must have a trowel among your weapons, and when you relieve yourself, you must dig with it and turn back and cover that which comes from you. For Yahweh your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and to give up your enemies before you. Therefore your camp must be holy, so that he may not see an unclean thing in you and turn away from you. So God foresees all sorts of human situations, like that you want to go to the toilet. When you're fighting, of course, that's natural. When you're in the camp of soldiers, somebody wants to go to the toilet, so you must have a trowel among your weapons. So God has this amazing knowledge of human weakness and our humanity, although he's so far away from us, but yet he's so close to us. You must not deliver to his master a servant who has escaped from his master to you. He shall live with you, in the midst of you, in the place which he shall choose within one of your gates, where it pleases him best. You must not oppress him. And I think that was a reflection of the way that they had been slaves in Egypt and had escaped. And they'd been oppressed in Egypt, and they were not to do that to other people. So we also were in Egypt in slavery to sin, and by God's grace he led us out through the Red Sea, through the waters of baptism, and we're now on the wilderness journey. But we've got to never treat people how we were treated by the world. In fact, that is the most natural thing to do to other people as was done to you. You were abused, so you go out and abuse people. You've got to break that cycle. I think that's what this is saying. You must not lend on interest to your brother, interest of money, of food, or of anything that is lent. To a foreigner, you may lend on interest, but to your brother, you shall not lend on interest, so that Yahweh your God may bless you in all that you put your hand to, in the land where you go in to possess it. Well, Jesus may allude to that when he tells his parable about the man who had one talent, and he was supposed to do something with it. And when his Lord comes back, like at the Day of Judgment, he says to his master, well, here's the money. I did nothing with it, but I didn't steal it or anything. Here you are, have it. And he says, no, you should at least have lent this money out on interest. And then at least you would have done something. Maybe Jesus is meaning, look, even if you had broken that law here in Deuteronomy 23 about not getting interest on money, even if you'd done something, even if it wasn't ideal, at least then I could have accepted you. Or maybe he means you should have lent your talent to the Gentiles and at least got me some interest on it. When you make a vow to Yahweh, you must not be slack to pay it, for Yahweh your God will surely require it of you, and it would be sin upon you. But if you don't vow, that will be no sin upon you. That which has gone out of your lips you must observe and do, according as you have vowed to Yahweh as a freewill offering which you have promised with your mouth. So you might think, well, in that case, it's better than not to make any free will offering to God or any promise to God, because if you don't do it, then you're going to be counted as a sinner because of it. Well, no, we should make free will offerings. This should be a natural part of being in relationship with God, to just spontaneously feel, I want to give something to God. I want to do something for him who has so loved me. But I think the idea of this law was that, yeah, but don't do it lightly. Don't just on the cusp of emotion say, oh yeah, I'm going to do this for you, God. If you decide to do it, then do it. In other words, be careful about what you decide to do for God and make a rational, sensible, cold-blooded decision, not just in hot blood, promising something that you can't really do. When you come into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat your fill of grapes at your own pleasure, but you must not put any into your vessel. When you come into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the ears with your hand, but you shall not move a sickle to harvest his standing grain. All this was encouraging a spirit of generosity, of not counting absolutely every little penny of what you own, but being generous to people, letting people walk through your field and, yeah, grab some grapes, grab some grain, and they can rub it in their hand, make a little bit of flour. Yeah, sure, let them do that. In fact, they have here a legal right to do that. Now, this is very different to the world where we live, where everybody is saying, look, to be smart, you want to absolutely be careful about your pennies, and then the pounds or the dollars will take care of themselves. No, God is saying, look, have a generous spirit. Don't be like that, and I will provide.